Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, they have seen enough at Wolverhampton Wanderers. They have seen enough. Vitor Pereira, on the back of yesterday's, let's face it, pretty shocking performance against Fulham. I don't think any of us were expecting them to beat Fulham, but still, not a good performance. And he's gone, Vitor Pereira, for the chop. For the chop. Big Ange in.
Oh, stop being ridiculous. I said to you earlier, when you said to me about Vitor being sacked, I was like, I just feel a bit sad for him. Sometimes when a manager gets sacked, you go, well, yeah, they're rubbish, so fair enough. Genuinely, I think he's a good manager. He's just got rubbish to work with, so I feel a bit sad for him.
Yeah, the guys are saying we've got echo on the mics. Not a surprise, probably because we didn't have time to test it before we come on. So why don't I turn mine off and let's see. Let's just see if it's back. Slight echo, but it's fine. All right. Well, what we need to do, Sam, is get in here early and test this stuff, isn't it? Test this stuff.
It's quite hard. We have got a family.
I know. Yeah, lots to do. Lots to do. You guys are saying it's better. We're going to see. We're going to see if we can carry on like that. Yes, but Vitor Pereira gone from Wolves. So what do we make of it? I mean, I for one was looking at who Wolves were up against next and thinking, how can I best target them in FPL? But with the manager gone, maybe that's maybe we change our thinking. Who knows?
Well, it depends on who they get in, really, doesn't it? I think that's the reality. Like, and we probably, well, I was going to say we won't know for a little while, but actually that doesn't seem to have been the case this year. When managers have been sacked this year, it feels like it's very much like, usually within about an hour and a half, we get someone new already in the door. But we haven't seen that yet from Wolves, nor not that I've seen anyway. Does feel like a bit of a poison chalice kind of job, though, doesn't it? Because they are, they're going to have to bounce quite quickly if they want to get out of trouble, and I don't think they've got the players to bounce.
Do you feel for him a little bit, though? Because you go in the summer and they sell Cunha and they sell Ait Nouri and they don't really, I mean, yeah, I don't really get, they did get some players in, didn't they? They did spend some money, but would you say he's been backed? I think he has. I think he's had some players come in the door. It's not as if they've just sold all the best players and said you can't have anyone. So it's not awful. But
I mean, it's pretty awful.
The results have been bad. The results have been bad.
I think it is pretty awful, Lee. I think it is pretty awful. I don't see Strand Larsen's not good enough. Not as a lone.
He's not been fit, is he?
Well, no. But even if when fit, he's not good enough. He was good last year because he had Cunha there. Ait Nouri was at the back, marshalling and controlling everything. And you take those two players out of your team, and they haven't replaced them. Strand Larsen was already there. So they haven't replaced Strand Larsen. They've just continued without him. And I think, you know, I get that clubs have different budgetary requirements and they have different spend levels. But it's not like they got nothing for Ait Nouri and Cunha. They got good money for both of those two players. And they haven't tried to strengthen. Flip side of that, when you look at other clubs that have lost big players over the last few years, the likes of Bournemouth or Crystal Palace, when they've lost big, they've gone and they've reinvested and they've not necessarily spent big, but they've invested in the right places and bought players in that have strengthened and improved the team as a whole. And I feel like that's where Wolves kind of went wrong this summer. And I'm not blaming the manager for that. I think that's a lot to do with him not being as backed as he should have been.
I agree. So there we go. Lots to discuss as usual in game week 10. We missed you guys last week. We missed you. We had a lovely time on our holidays, but we did miss you last week. Many of you would have listened to the Ohana that we did during the week where we had the whole kind of like Mickey van der Ven fallout. I mean, that was can we call it a fallout? I think probably not a fallout, but I sold him in game week 9. He then goes and bangs a 21, 23 pointer or whatever the hell it was. Absolutely ridiculous. But so we had all that last week, but game week 10 is done. It's not quite over. We've got Everton to play tomorrow against Sunderland in what should be a pretty decent game. But outside of that, we've got 9 fixtures that are done and dusted. So we'll talk through all of them. We'll do our game week scores. We'll talk about what our overall ranks look like, etc., etc. We're going to do all of that. Before we do that, though, Sam, we're going to say hello to a few people. Let's say hello to George. Hello, George. Thank you for the super chat, mate. He says, welcome back to the UK, Bonfields. Thank you, mate. Hope you had a well-deserved break in Dubai. Thank you. And had a great time last night at Mook Busted. We did. Hence, the t-shirt is on.
It's right. Not Mook Busted, George.
We can't call it Mook Busted, can you? It's Busted versus Mook. Got it.
They were in their separate bands.
You have to get this right, George. This is something that Sam will not let you get away play with.
Please. Not Mountbatten. No.
We did, though, weren't it? We had one at the O2 yesterday, and it was bloody good, to be honest, wasn't it? It was really good.
We've been really lucky this year. We've seen a lot of incredible shows. But this one, I think this might be my favourite ever show.
It was good. It was very, very good. Very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. Red Arrow for George at the moment. 63 all out with Harlan Cap. Enjoyed the Fortnite session. Yeah, I did George on Fortnite, so we had a bit of Fortnite earlier. If you've played the new Simpsons Fortnite, it's really good.
Hang on.
Really good. Liked it. Very good.
With George as well now.
Yeah, we're mates now on PlayStation, whatever it's called. He hasn't even got a PlayStation. He's got an Xbox. So I thought, that's it. We can't be friends. We can't be geeky Fortnite friends. But apparently you can. George knew how it worked. He sorted it out. Even though we're playing on different consoles, we're now Fortnite
friends.
Can you
still talk to each other?
I don't know, Sam. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. All that. So.
I was going to say, because have you got George? Have you got to listen to Max and Lee playing? Good grief.
Well, no. George. So George came in and was like watching Max and I play, and assumed that Max was the one that was like got shot and was dead.
Oh no, Max is really good.
And then Max got a double kill, got two people with one shot, and George was just like, bloody hell, well done, mate, that was amazing. I was like, well, mate, it was not me. Let me tell you, it was not
Max
me.
Max is incredible. He's got an incredible talent for video games, which
he's very good.
Doesn't get from his father.
He's very good, and I'm really not very good. Thank you, Steve, for the super chat. Hey, Bonfield, hello, mate. Glad you had a relaxing hole. Thank you, mate. Second in Manager of the Month. Yes, we should do, and we will do in just a second, a Manager of the Month update. 26K last week, big Red Arrow this week. So bench boost failed and two to go tomorrow. So Steve, listen, you've got two to go, mate. Anything could happen tomorrow. Anything can happen tomorrow. But while we are on that subject, we should talk about the Patreon Manager of the Month competition for October, which was won by Mr. Matthew Price. Well done, Matt. Congratulations.
Well done, Matt.
The Price is Right won. His team won with 230 points. Steve, who's just done the super chat. Thank you, Steve, for the super chat. 224 points, mate. Very, very, very good month, but just not quite good enough to beat Matt to the prize for October. And then Sean and George and Andy and Pete and a whole host of other people in there. All of these guys, thank you for your support. They've all supported us over on patreon.com/FPL family. They join us at the Manager of the Month tier. And if you think you can beat these guys, if you're looking at your points for October, and you were up there, if you did better than that, maybe you got over 230 points. If you were over on Patreon, you'd have won a footy shirt, right? Matt's going to win a footy shirt now. I've just sent him an email. He's going to tell me what he wants, what size, where to send it, all that sort of stuff. And we will sort him out with a footy shirt. So, guys, get over to patreon.com/FPL family. Links are in the description below if you fancy supporting the FPL Family channel. That little bit more and getting a little bit more out of us over on Patreon, that is the place to go. But congratulations to Matt.
Yeah,
the October winner.
Congratulations,
well done.
Matt. We also saw Tracy wearing her Manager of the Month.
We did.
Or one of her Manager of the Month shirts from last season, because she won multiple last year. So that was nice, wasn't it? Nice
it
to see somebody
very
rocking
nice.
A shirt that
it
we
was very nice to see Tracy over in Dubai, wasn't it? Very nice. And she got Haupt, which is her surname, written on the back of the Liverpool shirt. So glad to see it. Love to see it. Thank you, Duncan, for the members chat. You've been a member here for 43 months, Duncan. Absolutely
Blimey,
sensational.
Duncan.
How are we doing, Bonfields? I'm doing all right, thank you, mate. I'm doing all right. We finally, Liverpool, getting a win this weekend, so I'm good. I'm all right.
Lee's mood. We have established that Lee's mood is affected more by what happens with Liverpool than anything else that can possibly happen in his whole life.
100%. 100%.
When Liverpool are playing badly, he's horrible.
Oh, that's like, nice. Thanks.
No, you are. Because you go into a... And the thing is, it's not seen very often because Liverpool are usually good. So over the last sort of 5 years, generally speaking, Liverpool have been, you know, up there, winning trophies, you've been good. So because of that, you never really see the negative impact of Liverpool on you. Oh, my goodness me.
But I'm horrible.
The last few weeks, it's been difficult. So yesterday, when we were watching Busted Him at Fly and Lee said, Liverpool winning, I was like, oh, thank the Lord for that. And then you said, it's 2-0. And I was like, yes, it's going to be a good night now. And it has. Lee's in a happy mood today.
I am in a much happier mood. I think we're papering over cracks still. I'll talk about the performance a bit later on. And you're right, we were at the concert last night, so I didn't actually watch the game, but I've watched some extended highlights. I don't know what Villa were playing at tactically, honestly, but we'll talk about that a bit later on. Thank you, Duncan, for the super chat. How are we doing, Bonfils? On a red with Alderete to go. Glad you enjoyed the concert. Knew you would, Sam. Not going to lie, I cried at Aberdeen. So good. Nice. Yeah, well, there's another guy that gets affected by stuff like that. Duncan, thank you for the super chat, mate. Thank you for supporting the channel here for 43 months. Very, very good indeed. Who else we got? Joseph Maloney is in. Very nice to see you, mate. Andrew Yee. We've got Claire is in. Nice to see you, Claire. And we've got FPL Overpaid Over the Bar. We've got Jaden. We've got the Messiah and a whole host of you guys in this evening. So thank you very much for joining us here at FPL Family for tonight's live stream. Let's get into these games, Sam. We're going to do games, then we'll do teams. Then we'll do a little bit about what's coming up this week, because there's quite a lot. We've got quite a lot of pods and stuff coming up this week, haven't we? Quite a lot coming up this week. Let's go to, I want to go to the main screen. Here we go. Let's talk games. And do you mind if we did Liverpool first? Just because I touched on it there a little bit. You guys are right. My mood is completely affected by Liverpool, no doubt about it. Even more so than I thought, actually, over the last few weeks. And I went into this game, and I did say on the Ohana on Thursday that I wasn't mega confident going into this game. Wasn't mega confident at all. But I also thought that if he was going to play the team that he played in the Carabao Cup and effectively surrender the Carabao Cup, which is what he did. He did effectively surrender the League Cup against Crystal Palace. Then he had to go, Slot had to go into this game and win this game. Mm. And he did make some changes. But they were changes which were kind of going back to last year a little bit. So he took Wirtz out the firing line, notice. He took Kerkez, probably most importantly Kerkez, out the firing line. He puts Robbo back in there. Doesn't play Frimpong. Bradley gets the call up. He puts Szoboszlai back in the kind of the, not the 10, but somewhere between the 8 and the 10, in that pressing front four, right? Where he needs to be, right? If this result shows us anything, Szoboszlai needs to be there, pressing with the front three. But it was basically a throwback to last year, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
All of the new boys weren't there, except for Hugo, right? He's there and he did all right, I think. So are we papering over the cracks a little bit as Liverpool? I saw a bit of narrative about, oh, well, Liverpool are back and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I've put it in the title even for this video, oh, Liverpool back. I don't think we are, genuinely don't think we are. I think there's a lot that's got to happen still. And tactically, which was weird for Emery, because I think Emery's a tactical magician, right? He gets it right 9 times out of 10, but I think he got it wrong here. Ashley Williams and a couple of the other guys on Match of the Day last night were talking about the fact that they didn't go long. Right, they didn't. They tried to play out from the back. And our front three, with a little bit of aggression and with a bit more aggression from Maka in midfield and from the high press from Szoboszlai in that sort of 10-8 position. The mistake from Martinez is the mistake, right? We're fortunate to get that goal. But it was coming. You could see it. They were pressing particular Martinez when they were trying to play out from the back. And if you go back a few weeks, and I said this on Ohana, I think either last week or the week before, Man United beat us. And Slot came out after the game and said, yeah, but Hart, you know, they just kept going long, Liverpool. Just kept, United, Slot, it was just, United were just going long. They just pumped it long. Yeah. And they did really well out of it.
Yeah.
Because they would almost concede the first header, like let Konate or Van Dijk win it. They would position themselves in those areas between midfield and the defence to pick up the second ball. And they did that brilliantly. And they've got him behind and Mbeumo scored within 2 or 3 minutes doing that exact tactic. So yes, that is the way to beat us. And we have been susceptible to playing against that tactic for weeks now. So if you're Villa, why do you show up and try and play out from the back? There's a little bit of a blueprint as to how to beat us over the last few weeks, and they didn't follow it, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I think that depends on the type of football club you are, doesn't it? Like, all right, yeah, you can look at what's worked in the past against a particular team, but the team that you played against Manchester United was a very different setup to the one that you played against Villa this week, personnel-wise. And Villa have been better over the last few weeks playing the game that they played against you. So they finally got a system where they were crap for weeks at the beginning of the season, awful. But finally their system is working over the last couple of weeks. So why would they then go, oh, well. Now, what's unforgivable is that they don't change it during the game. That's the issue. Mm. My issue isn't that they come and they try and play out from the back, because that's been working for them. So just because you have seen Manchester United do something that's worked against Liverpool doesn't mean you should give up all the stuff that you're good at.
And I'll tell you what, Rodgers hits the post after about 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And if that goes in...
It's a different game.
It's core, oh, blimey, then it's a difficult game, isn't it? Because then the crowd turn and the fans get a little bit... Because there was a lot of from Van Dijk and from Slot after the game about, oh, the fans were great and they really... And they did, no doubt about it. But it could have been very different if Rodgers tucks that away.
Agree. But I think what you're saying has some accuracy in that what should have happened in and around the sort of 30-minute-ish mark, when it was clearly obvious that what Villa were doing wasn't working, it's at that moment where you would expect Emery to have a different backup plan and to know that what worked against Liverpool last week was to play long balls out from the back. And Villa can do that.
Yeah.
They can do that. They've got a very, very good goalkeeper, apart from the mistake he made. They've got a very good goalkeeper who can play long. And their defenders can do the same thing. So I don't think it's a bad thing that they start the game with their style and don't compromise that. What I think is bad is that we get, even at half time, there isn't a conversation around, let's just try something a little bit different here.
Yeah.
Because it's not working.
What do you make of Liverpool assets then? Because the fixtures... I mean, City next in game week 11. So listen, don't rush to Liverpool assets, because that is a very, very, very difficult game up at the Etihad. But after that, it's Forest, West Ham, Sunderland. Just trying to read that. Leeds then after that. And actually, I've got the next 5 game weeks here for those that are watching on YouTube. But if you extended that out to, say, 10 game weeks, it's pretty good. Mm. The fixtures are pretty good.
Yeah, I think you're second up to 19.
So from game week 12 onwards, we look worthy of investment. Maybe, but it depends if we see more from Liverpool this week. And we've got 2 of the hardest games of the season this week. We've got Real Madrid and then we've got Manchester City at the Etihad.
Yes, and AFCON is creeping up. Creeping, creeping, creeping.
Yeah.
So you're going to lose Salah for however long. And we do have to consider that now. We were going into game week 11. So going into game week 15, isn't it, that we're going to get our AFCON free transfers?
Yes.
And then obviously they head out for 16. So we aren't far enough out. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't go there with Salah now for 4 weeks and then get rid of him at the time. But the reality is, I know that he scored last week and this week, back-to-back goals.
Yeah.
Have you been impressed, though?
With Salah particularly?
Yeah.
In the last couple of games, he's played better. But it's all relative, isn't it? Because
yeah.
he's been poor in yeah. the opening few weeks.
But also not really still worth 14 point whatever he is now, 4 million.
No.
And I think my issue with Liverpool is that I look at Liverpool, and I tried this, remember, on wildcard. I went for Isak, who's obviously been injured and, you know, out and what have you. But I look at that Liverpool team and I think in reality, I know you kept a clean sheet this time around, but the defence has not been solid and there isn't really anyone I would want to invest in there, because you've got to pay money for the likes of Van Dijk. They're premium, right? And you're already spending quite a lot on your Arsenal defenders.
Our defenders. We give up XG.
And you don't know who's going to play in the wing-back positions. Is it going to be Kirkes and Frimpong? And if it is, that's not worked so well. Is it going to be back to old school with Bradley and Robertson? If it is, maybe that's been a little bit more successful over the recent weeks. Gravenberch is the one that's probably been the best FPL asset, but you're not really going there. I just don't know who you go to with Liverpool, and that's really my issue, is that they're not a standout, because even with Ekitike, I think...
Do you not think Gakpo's a standout?
Not really.
I think if you were going to go one, you'd go there, wouldn't you?
Would
he seems
you?
To get the starts. My challenge with Gakpo is that I think he's a bit one-dimensional. Not only does he often ignore his overlap or his underlapping fullback, right? The one thing you would always say about whoever played on that side for Liverpool was that Robbo would either bomb on and Mane would give him the ball, or Diaz would give him the ball, or Jota would give him the ball. And it's the same with Trent and Salah on the other side in previous years. It was quite a symbiotic relationship.
Mm.
But Gakpo receives the ball. In Kirkes' defence, he doesn't really know what Gakpo's going to, you know, he could make that run, but he'll so rarely get it from Gakpo. Gakpo gets the ball, likes to cut inside and get a shot away.
Mm.
That's his game. So if you can stop him doing that, you stop probably one of our key threats.
Mm.
So I do find him a little bit one-dimensional. I like him, right? He's a nice player and he's got a good eye for goal. But I think he's a bit one-dimensional. But in FPL, yeah, he's probably the only one you'd go to.
I wouldn't go there.
The only one that I have considered, and not for the Man City game, but for after, if we can, because a bit of a back to basics theme, if we can tighten up a little bit, maybe the goalkeeper's worth having a look at because he's super cheap. But then at some stage, Alisson's coming back, so probably not. It's very difficult to pick a Liverpool FPL asset right now, I think.
I don't, and this isn't about, because I think you're improving, but there isn't a standout for me. And the fixtures are nice, but I don't trust Gakpo to finish. I like Ekitike the best of all of them.
You wouldn't trust Gakpo to finish? No. He's a good finisher.
I just don't trust him to bring enough points in FPL right now. There's nobody at Liverpool that I would go to right now.
All right.
Because I just don't think that Salah's worth the money and he's going to disappear off in a few weeks' time. Ekitike is the one I would go with if I was going to go there, but I think there's three better options in the forward line.
All right, and from a Villa perspective, if you had their assets, any concerns here? Or do you just think tactically they got it wrong and this was a bit of a blip in their run? Because it's four wins on the back of before this, right? So,
I don't know about this tactical thing, you know. They started the game all right. They could have gone ahead. If they go ahead, I think it's a different game.
Mm.
There's a mistake made that gives Salah the goal. Like, I think, you know, if they score that goal, if Martinez doesn't make the mistake, it's different, isn't it? It's a different game. Like, I think it's very easy to sit there and go, oh, Emery got it wrong. I think he gets it wrong by not changing it, but I wouldn't be panicking. I don't think you were expecting, if you've got Villa assets, I don't think you were expecting them to necessarily get a lot against Liverpool.
No.
So I would just hold them. I don't think it's that bad, unless you've got a particular move that you want to make, i.e. you've got a Rodgers and you prefer someone else in the midfield, then fair enough. But I don't think that they'd be a priority for me to sell on the back of that performance.
I just think the next three is Bournemouth at home, Brentford away, Wolves at home, and then it's Brighton and Arsenal after that. So it gets very tricky from 14. But for the next three, I don't even mind Brighton. Them. I don't mind them.
Brighton's first clean sheet of the season this week. Like, there's goals. You got Watkins or Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
Brighton game's not that hard. The Arsenal game's tough. Very tough.
Yeah, Brighton away is a difficult game, though, no?
The first clean sheet of the season this week.
Yeah, okay. So, all right, so maybe as a short-term fix then. I mean, because the reason I'm looking at Villa is there's a couple of standouts for me. I still like Rodgers because of what he can do. Plus, I think I've seen George say in the chat, midfield is really hard in FPL right now. Mm. Like, I'm struggling to find, like, the right midfielders. I always feel like I'm on the wrong ones.
Where do you see mine?
But I want Gordon gone from my team. Like, I got him in as a bit of a differential a couple of weeks ago. What a disaster that's been. What a disaster of a pick Anthony Gordon has been.
He was going in the Champions League, you know that.
Yeah, maybe. So I want him gone out of my team. And Rodgers is one that I've had a look at for the next sort of 3 or 4 weeks. The other one that I've had a look at, and he was a bit unlucky not to score, was Matty Cash in this game. I notice he's in at sort of 4 point something. He's pretty cheap.
He is cheap, yeah.
And I do wonder whether he might be worth it. He's getting the game time. I think Unai Emery seems to trust him on that side.
Mm-hmm.
We know what you're going to get from Matt Cash. He does like to get forward. I don't know what if there's any minutes risks from anybody else coming in that team. I don't think so. So I've got my eye on maybe Cash, but definitely Rodgers for sort of the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And mainly because I'm pretty settled with my defence-ish, because I've got my Palace covered and I've got my Arsenal covered. Could I bring Cash in? I could. But it's the midfield where I've got the problem. So that's why I quite like Rodgers. That's why I quite like him. So Liverpool 2, Villa 0. Yes, happy to get back to winning ways. But I don't know. It was slot going back to what worked last year. And that's not a sustainable solution. He's got to find a way to get these new boys bedded in and working. And it's all right coming out with they haven't had pre-seasons or anything. But dude, come on, it's game week 10. They should be up to speed by now. You should be able to get a tune out of Ertz and should be able to get a tune out of Isak by now, in my opinion. And it ain't working, and he's reverted back to last season. And yes, we've got the win, but that's not a long-term solution, in my opinion. It's really not. Let's go back to Saturday then. Let's talk about Burnley 0, Arsenal 2. I think they look pretty unstoppable, Arsenal. What have they got now? About a five-point lead? It might even be more over Manchester City in second. Everything about their game here I liked. obviously defensively. It gets to a point now with Arsenal where you're a bit like, you'd be surprised if they conceded. It's a bit like if it flashed up Burnley had scored it, I'd have been like, oh my God, that's a shock to me that they've scored.
It feels like a banker. It feels like you set up your team and you're like, I mean, there's guaranteed 2 6-points in there for my two Arsenal defenders. Probably, there's probably upside for DEFCON for Gabriel, assist potential for them both, bonus point potential for them both.
Gabriel is like, you just have to, like, if you haven't got Gabriel now, you just have to.
Lee, I don't even think it's
but you
just
have to.
I don't think it's just a Gabriel, though. Like, I genuinely think that you have to have two. I just don't think that it's enough anymore to have Gabriel, because Gabriel is phenomenal. He is phenomenal. Like, by far and away, the best defender, not just in FPL, but in the league. Like, he is by far
at the moment, he is right up there.
Right now, he is phenomenal. But it's not enough to have him, because all you're doing by having Gabriel is covering the Arsenal defence. Yes, he's the best one to have because he's getting the most points, but everybody has got an Arsenal defender. Pretty much, if you know what you're doing, you've pretty much got an Arsenal defender. So, yes, you get some upside. This week in particular, you've got big upside for Gabriel over the others. The others were getting sixes, he was getting 12. Great, that's good. But you have to have two. Because it's the only way, and it's like, it was like this 2 seasons ago, wasn't it? We got to the point with it where it was like, you might want to look at the Arsenal double up in the attack, but the reality is you have to go with the defence, because like you said, you would be incredibly surprised in any game to see them concede.
So who then? Raya, Timber, Calafiori?
I prefer Timber as the second. I mean, I think Timber is fantastic, and I think his potential upside swings it over Calafiori and Raya, because Raya realistically is getting 2 or 6. He doesn't make many saves because the defence is doing all the hard work, so he doesn't have to make many saves. Having said that, he did make a really good one in this game towards the back end. But he's not really doing a lot of upsiding. There's not really any bonus there. There's not really any save potential there. But he will get you with 6 most if not every week.
The way that he and Calafiori join in with the attack is quite phenomenal, by the way. It's
Timber,
quite phenomenal. Timber.
Sorry,
yeah.
I was talking about Raya.
Oh, sorry. Timber, yeah. Timber and Calafiori, the way that the fullbacks both invert and both get into positions. I noticed it actually in this game against Burnley. It was Calafiori actually doing it more than Timber this week. But in any given week, it can be Timber. Timber can do it. But the way, like, Calafiori would find himself in the 9 position. Like, he joins in and he's like centre forward, making runs in and around the area and getting touches in the box. I just think they're unbelievable. So I agree with you. Raya feels like I've got him right now, and he's far from a problem, right? He's not a problem.
It's not a problem.
But at the same time, you look at the sort of work that Calafiori and Timber do for that side, and you think, yeah, this just makes absolute sense. By the same token, it's probably the best game that I've seen Jokeres play in an Arsenal shirt.
45 minutes.
The best 45 minutes I've seen him in an Arsenal shirt. But the fact that he picks up 2 bonus points on a 45-minute display tells you how good he was in that 45 minutes. Now, we've got to wait to see what the injury looks like. From what I've seen, it feels quite precautionary. I don't expect him to be out for too long, but we've got to wait to see what the actual prognosis is. But I thought he's phenomenal. The work he does for that side, and the way that he brings others into the game, it's so, so good. Honestly, the goals will come for this guy. They really will, and they started to here. And then you add Rice in as well, who's just like popping up with a bullet header inside the box. There's just, and I know you're not going to like it, but there's just so much. I've got just so much time for Arsenal right now. They are just looking absolutely like champions. They're looking like champions. However, they had more or less the same sort of start in 22-23 and didn't win. So,
and last year.
So it wasn't the same sort of start. In 22-23, they had almost the exact same start as this. And defensively, they were the same and didn't go on to win.
No.
So, of course, it can all change.
But last year, they were in the hunt as well and didn't win.
It's
a thing now. So it's just whether their mentality shift is there. At the minute, it looks like it is. Like, it looks like they've got the personnel, the mentality, and the performances to see it out this year. well, I guess the next 28 weeks will show us whether that's the case. I went brave this week in Captain Saka.
Yeah, what do you think of Saka's performance then?
I don't... Honestly, how he doesn't score twice, I don't know. Like, they're really... He should have braced in this one. It's incredibly frustrating. And actually, it's really... it's kind of pissed me off in a really bad way. Not Saka, but it's one of those, isn't it, where FPL really gets to you, because it's like you look at the fixtures, you look at the performances, you get it right. Like, that was clearly the best fixture in the game week. It was clear that Arsenal were going to be the best team of the week. And yeah. I think they were. And so to go brave and go away from the Haaland captaincy felt like an educated gamble. But it makes you go, well, I might as well just never bother. I might as well just leave the armband there. And it, for me, I find that really difficult, because it's a part of the game that I've started to hate, the captaincy, because it's so boring every week. And you can't go against it, because when you do... Even with Gabriel, with the managers that went for Gabriel this week, which was really brave. That's a really brave decision to captain a defender. Haaland still outscored them. And in a game that I don't think we would have necessarily expected. I know we talked before about how Bournemouth had conceded quite a lot on the road this season in their home form versus the away form. But I just think that it's one of those real frustrations for me that it's a part of the game that I think is ruined right now by the fact that it has to be Haaland every week, because if you go against it and Haaland returns, you're guaranteeing yourself a red arrow.
It's not the first time we've had this, though, is it? We've had a couple of seasons ago where it was Haaland, you just stuck it on Haaland, that's the end of it. Last season, you stuck it on Salah, and that's the end of it. Yeah. So it's, you can say you get pissed off with it, but that's been the game for the last 2 or 3 years, where you have a permacap, and if you want to go against it, yes, it's risky, but there's big upside if you can hit it. But
there isn't really any big upside, that's the point, even with Gabriel.
Well, there wasn't this week, but Saka was, what, third for XG underachievers this week with a delta of 0.58. So, yeah, you're right. If you did captain Saka, or even if you just had Saka, you're bang unlucky. You're bang unlucky. But then you could also look at it, and those that didn't captain Saka would say, well, Haaland's the obvious pick. And also, Arsenal scored 5 open play goals so far this season, and everything's coming from set pieces. Which he takes, but then if you look at how many assists he's got from those, and he doesn't take all the corners, Trossard takes some, and Rice takes some, right? So he takes some of the corners. They look to try and hit Gabriel, or usually him or Saliba, they try and hit a big man, and then they get the second ball, don't they, if it's not an attempt on target. So given how good they are from set pieces, and how little, and I appreciate Rice has scored from open play here, on a brilliant counter-attack, by the way, but if you look at the stats of how many they're scoring from open play, I think they were 17th in the league for open play goals. So it's therefore quite... I find it quite difficult to then go, well, I'll captain a player that I would...
But that isn't why I captained him.
What did you captain him for then?
Because he's on set pieces. Mm. And they're good from set pieces. And he takes the set pieces. Mm. So I think I looked...
But you've got Gabriel as well, right? And he's the one that finds the... He's the one that's on the end of the set pieces. So
but
why not him?
But if you look at the numbers, Saka aims at Gabriel. Mm. So for me, I was like, if Saka's going to be the one taking set pieces and aiming at Gabriel, I'm not in the wanting to captain a defender thing. I'm not back there yet. Okay. Like, for me, that's still too wild. Because I know that if and it was unlikely, but if Burnley had scored, that would have really... I would have lost the will to live.
And they nearly did in the last minute.
And they nearly did in the last minute. And that's why, for me, I'm never going to captain it. I'm never going to captain anyone other than Haaland now. It's ruined that part of the game for me this week. Because, like, and I appreciate that that's, you know, throwing my toys out the pram. But it is really difficult when you look at the numbers, when you pick somebody that, and you can see it from the underlying numbers, like Saka was bang unlucky not to get something in this game. Even if he only gets one, it still wouldn't have been enough to cover out what Haaland then goes and does in a game that I wasn't convinced that he was going to... And look, we talk about Haaland later, I'm sure, but he was good in this game. But I don't know. The captaincy is really starting to wind me up again. It wound me up 2 seasons ago. It wound me up last season. Because for me, part of the fun of FPL is being able to look at the players that are the best players in your team with the best fixture, with the stuff that you were saying about the XG and the route to points and all of that stuff, and then go there. And to just have to go, oh, Haaland, every week.
Okay.
It's really annoyed me this week.
Okay.
A lot.
Very good. Let's talk about Man City 3, Bournemouth 1 then. So Haaland with the 2. Anything else to take from this game? A couple of assists for Cherki on his return to the team. A player that you quite liked in pre-season. Mm-hmm. Certainly popping up in decent forward areas. And in all that, eye test wise, I was like, yeah, this guy's popping up where I want him. And not only that, but the assists were like, yeah, here's a player that doesn't look as if he's been out injured and he's getting
really
up to
good.
Speed. In a world where, you know, I'm trying my best to give Isak and Verts and others as much time as possible to get up to speed, here's a new player to the league that's like, yep, seems to have taken to it like a duck to water. So what do you make of this game? What do you think of it?
The problem with Cherki is that he's not going to get he's going to get rotated minutes constantly all the time because they've got so many players that it's difficult. Like, we saw Reinders miss out today, and I was spoiler alert for my team later, I was like, when Pep spoke pre-game and he said Reinders he's got a little bit of a niggle, so not risking him, and I was thinking, great, you stay on the bench because then I'll get my points off the bench. So when he came on, I was like, oh, very annoying, because it's like, well, if he's got a niggle, that means he can't start the game and you're winning the game, just leave him on the damn bench, Pep. But Pep doesn't do that. I honestly think that outside of Haaland, there isn't anyone in that Manchester City team that I would pick.
Difficult to go there, isn't it? Ryan ain't Nori coming back from injury this week.
They're not keeping clean sheets. And Bournemouth had another one ruled out for offside. Now, it was clearly offside. Krupa Jr. went early. But right at the beginning of the game, within 5 minutes or so, Bournemouth had scored. And yes, it's offside, so take with what I'm about to say with a pinch of salt, but it does show that they will give up chances. They will allow you, and they were playing out from the back badly, and Bournemouth got the ball in it, and then they scored from it.
I thought that was a foul on Donnarumma, though, for the Adams goal, did you? I thought, on another day, that's given.
On another day, maybe it's given, but I don't like the City defence. I don't think that they will, over the next few weeks, particularly against Liverpool, I think that they will concede goals. I don't think that they are the watertight defence that you would want them to be when you consider that they are the same price as the Arsenal defenders.
Okay, well, it is Liverpool up next, as you rightly say. Then Newcastle away, Leeds, Fulham away, Sunderland at home. So, listen, there's teams in there that give up a lot of XG. I'm not looking at my Manchester City players and thinking I must sell them before the Liverpool game. That's, you know, we're giving up XG left, right and centre. Will you captain Haaland next week then?
Yep. Don't bother asking me anymore.
You really are upset about
that. I'm really annoyed about it. It ruins the game. I honestly think
okay,
it does.
Sure. So anything to say about Bournemouth before we move on?
I actually thought Bournemouth were a bit unlucky in this game. I don't think that... all the things that we've just said about Man City are fair, but I think that Bournemouth had some really good moments in this game. I wouldn't have said they were consistently really good over the course of the 90 minutes, but they had moments where they were really good. I think the interesting thing is looking at Semenya underlying numbers, which have massively fallen off a cliff. And I think he is one of those players that we will all likely be guilty of holding too long because he's dropped off.
Okay.
But because of what's happened, game weeks 1 through 6, we'll all stay there. But actually, if you look at the numbers game week 7 through now 10, the underlying numbers aren't there. So for me, he is a player that is high on my exit list, exit list.
Well, it's Villa away next, who, as we've seen, like to play out from the back. So if Bournemouth can get their high line up and they can get the press going, I think they can score there. West Ham at home and then Everton at home in 14 and then... who's that in the middle there? That is Sunderland away in 13, which is a tricky little game on paper. But I have them third in my ticker, or the Fantasy Football Scout folks have them third in their ticker over the next 5. It doesn't strike me as a player that I'd want to sell, particularly where I'm not really sure who I go to in midfield right now, as you mentioned before.
No, but I also think that we should have learnt this seasons ago. And like, you think about last season, when was it last season when Palmer had that moment where we just all of a sudden stopped scoring.
Yeah, and we just all held him.
And we
for
all
ages.
Kept holding him. Yeah. And we wasted a spot for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks because we all held Cole Palmer because we looked back at the season before and we were like, oh, he was wonderful. And Semenyo, the opening weeks of the season, incredible. The underlying numbers were brilliant. The performances were fantastic. right now, if you just look at it over the last 3 weeks, you would not buy Semenyo, and you certainly wouldn't hold him.
You're going to sell him
those
then?
Numbers. Possibly.
For me, I've absolutely no desire to sell him whatsoever. The fixtures are great, and I genuinely think, as I said in Ohana on Thursday, I think Krupe Jr. affects his game. I think Krupe Jr. is a greedy player, which is not a bad thing. We like 4-point-something million greedy players in FPL. He likes to hold on to the ball a bit too long. He doesn't do what Evan Nilsson does. What Evan Nilsson does brilliantly is... I was going to compare him to Jokeres then. Yeah, I will compare him to Jokeres. He holds the ball up well. He brings other players in. He does a bit like what Mateta does for Palace. You know, when Sarr goes in behind with his pace. That's what Semenyo does. And Evan Nilsson is coming back from injury and actually come on today, didn't he?
He did come on today, yeah.
So if this run of fixtures over the next five with Evan Nilsson back in the team, I think we will see the Semenyo that we saw in the first few game weeks. And I think you're right. I think his stats have dropped off in the last 3 weeks, but that is because he's not got his partner in crime, Evan Nilsson. It's because he's got Krupe Jr. So definitely not a sell for me. Definitely not. But I'd be interested to hear who you want to go to if you are going to sell him.
I think there's a lot. I think George said it right earlier. I think there's a hell of a lot of problems across the midfield. I am currently playing like 4 or 5 across the midfield every week, and I don't really want to be doing that. I just don't think that the midfielders are good enough. So I'd rather take some money out, downgrade, and then use that money to upgrade a defender instead.
Okay. All right, let's go to, speaking of midfielders, because there are a few midfielders that I'm looking at from Chelsea. Spurs 0, Chelsea 1. What do you make of this game? Because there was very, very low XG from Spurs in this game, so not a lot of creativity. You know, you desperately need the Madisons and the Kulus back, don't you, to give you that little bit of creativity in midfield.
You, didn't I, as we were getting on the tube yesterday and the team news flashed up on my phone, I was like, what the hell is that front line? That is... And you said, oh, it's not that dissimilar from the normal Spurs team. And I was like, are you joking? It's awful. A front line that is basically Kudus. Kola Muani, who's been appalling since he's arrived.
He had 2 or 3 games. And he's
got
been,
a dead leg.
And he arrived injured.
Out for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then since he's come back, he's just lethargic and leggy and he's not making any difference.
Okay.
Lucas Burger, who I really, really like, and I was pleased to see him get a start, but he got injured after 7 minutes and had to go off. Xavi Simmons came on.
Who then got subbed off himself on 73.
Because he was dreadful.
Yeah.
Played awful. So he comes on, is awful, and then he played Pap Sarr. Now, my issue is that Pap Sarr at the beginning of the season started phenomenally well, really, really good, and then he's been in and out of the team, and he's a player that really thrives on that consistency of starts and being in and around the team. And I think he's got it wrong, honestly. I think he got this starting 11 incredibly wrong. The back line is fine. I think what he did in the middle is fine in terms of Bentancur and Paulinho, that's fine. But the front...
Bentancur a bit lucky to stay on?
Yes, but Enzo more so. The pair of them are lucky. The front four, Kudus is the exception. They're all wrong. They were wrong. Maybe it's different if Lucas stays on. I mean, Lucas is playing out of position there.
I was going to say, why is he playing left?
Who knows, but... He's in the left spot. He's one of those players that will just have a go. And I think the part of the problem is that he's moved Xavi. In the recent weeks, he's moved Xavi into the 10 and it's not worked at all. It's not working. He's better on the left, but he's playing quite poorly on the left as well. And they haven't really got anybody else. And that left side has now been a problem for the last few, since Harry left, basically, because Son's dropped off, you know, over the last couple. Son had dropped off, but we were still playing him there if he was fit. The left side has caused us issues. When Kulu comes back, which is due to be in January, and we'll be interested to see what he does, because he probably put Kulu in the 10, because he's not going to take Kudus off the right, because he is our best creative player right now.
He's the only one that's currently fit, isn't he? At all, and even
across
then, this
the team, yeah.
Your entire XG in this game, which I think was, I've read, was 0.05.
Yeah.
You had 3 attempts on goal. They were all Kudus.
Yeah.
And they together, yeah, they were worth 0.05 XG.
Yeah. None of them are strong chances.
No.
None of them are strong chances, but they all come from him.
Which to me suggests that he's just getting the ball and just out of frustration, hitting it from nowhere. I mean, I haven't seen those three attempts on goal, but they all seem pretty low attempts.
One of them, yeah, I mean, they're all from distance.
Yeah.
They're all from distance.
That's a frustration thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think over the last few weeks, Lee, you would be frustrated if you were Kudus, because you're doing all this creative stuff. You're creating chances. Up top, Richarlison looks knackered, which I don't sort of blame him, because he was injured for a long time and he's come back and been asked to play a hell of a lot of football. You've got Colomani, who's just not looked good at all, and is another player that hasn't hit the ground running, which is fine. I don't expect him to come into the Premier League and suddenly be peak Messi or something, but I would expect more than we've seen from him. Tell's just awful. Odber, I think, is awful. So
it can't just all be awful, though.
Them two are really, really good when they're playing for France. And I think that tells you a lot. Because when you play them when they play for France, they look great. But they're not good in the Premier League. The Premier League's too quick for them and they can't cope. And they are too lightweight and they're pushed off the ball too easily. I was hoping that Colomani was going to be better because he's bigger and he's a bit more robust. But that hasn't really been the case so far. Dom Solanke can't come back quick enough.
Mm.
I think that will massively help. All of that being said, that shouldn't take away from Chelsea. The Chelsea performance was good.
Yeah.
They were far the better team. João Pedro is the biggest troll I've ever come across in my whole life.
Well, it's mad that he's top for XG underachievers with an XG of 1.86 in this game. Yeah. 1.86. I mean, that's... I think I read a stat somewhere that he got more attempts on goal in this game than he had in the previous six games combined or something, right? And he's sold by over 1.5 million FPL managers going into this week, right? We've all moved. I certainly did move him to Mateta. That was my
and
move
for
this week.
And it blanked that because they got the sack.
Yeah, so I'm sure. Okay. And actually going forward, I feel...
Still rather have Mateta than João Pedro. I would.
Would you, though, over the next two?
Yes, I would. Because I do think that when you're looking at Chelsea, there are other options that you could go for. So, like, I've got Caicedo, who Ryan has blocked off the bench. And I couldn't decide what to do with Caicedo and Van de Ven. And in the end, I forgot to take my phone out with me. And it forced me to not do anything. Because I was backwards and forwards, as you'd have seen on my Instagram stories on Saturday morning. I could not decide what to do. My heart was like... just leave them both on the bench. My head was saying probably should play Caicedo, to be honest, over Reinders, and I couldn't decide. So in the end, and it was purely accidental. I left my phone at home and didn't do anything. But Caicedo, everyone keeps saying to me, oh, he's a terrible pick. Caicedo's a terrible pick. Why have you picked him?
Mm.
He won't keep up at this point. He can't continue to do the things he's doing. Well, we're 10 game weeks in and he's continuing to do these things.
He wins the ball and then plays the assist for João Pedro. It's like, what more do you want?
Correct.
I mean, that's great.
He's cheap. He's highly involved in everything Chelsea are doing, which means he often gets bonus points.
Mm. FCON monster.
He's correct. That was going to be my next point. He loves a DEFCON. He's regularly getting goals and assists. He's added the attacking threat to his game. And he is so much cheaper than most of the other midfielders in the game that are doing worse than him. So when you look at like the scores, not just for this week, but over the start of the season, he's so much better than most other people. Now, I get it. If you want to have Enzo's routes to points are better. That's why I've got to pay a million odd more for Enzo over Caicedo.
Pens, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
It seems like it. Even when João Pedro was on the pitch, he took one, didn't he? So, you do have a better route to points with Enzo. And so if you want to go for Enzo Fernandez instead, I understand that totally. But I think a lot of managers this season are looking to have a relatively expensive front line with Haaland, because you have to, Mateta probably, Voltimado, we have to talk about him in a minute. But you're probably spending a significant chunk of your budget there. You're certainly spending it at the back with your double Arsenal defence. Plus, you're going to have a Palace defender, almost certainly. So they just keep getting more and more expensive. So you're going to have to spend quite a bit of money. So that midfielder block, Caicedo feels like a really nice opportunity to go cheap. That I think the frustration that I might have with him is that because he is my fifth mid, he will often end up on the bench.
Yeah.
And I think that will be difficult because probably I should learn my lesson with him.
It has opened up the game. I mean, you've got to hand it to the Premier League, and you've got to hand it to Mark a little bit as well, right, for going and doing what he's done with the Premier League and the guys that make the game over the summer. Because for sure, they'd have gone into this year with the remit of make the pool of players bigger. We need more picks in FPL. And we're absolutely seeing it, right? Not only is the defensive pool of players skyrocketed, right, because of defensive contributions, but like you feasibly could make up a midfield and have Caicedo and Rice in there and be pretty happy with it.
Yeah.
With them two. And in the past, in previous seasons, we wouldn't touch those guys with a barge pole, would we? No, you'd say, well, they've got a maximum of two in each game, because even if they keep a clean sheet, they're getting booked, those guys, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But now, it's a totally, totally different game. And even when we were talking about Liverpool there, right, Gravenberch as well, you were saying, like, you know, I'm trying to make the case for Gakpo. I think you were trying to make the case a little bit for Gravenberch. And it's like, well, these players, we never would have picked them in the past.
He's the best FPL asset at Liverpool right now.
They are absolutely on radar. And Caicedo, I don't know, maybe I just need to get it out of my head, because I'm looking at Wolves Burnley for the next two. And, like, I haven't got any Chelsea in my team. And I'm like, I've got Gordon sitting there. Is Gordon to Caicedo just a really easy and obvious move next week?
I bought Caicedo in, what, 2 weeks ago now? Yeah, for my bench boost. I did stacks to Caicedo. He didn't do anything last week. But the numbers were there. And the fixtures are there. And his involvement in the game is there. And all right, over the next couple of weeks, maybe the DEFCON won't be because of the fixtures that they have. Like, I'm not surprised to see him getting DEFCON in most fixtures because he's been coming up against teams that will be attacking, and maybe over the next couple of weeks, we'll see less of that. But the attacking threat is there. So, and his involvement in the Chelsea team means if they win, and they win like one goal here, even if he doesn't, he's still going to rank high on the bonus point system, even if he didn't get an attack in return, because of the importance of him in that team.
Yeah,
so
I like him.
I really like him. And I get that it's a shift out of normal FPL thinking to go for somebody like Caicedo.
I think
we have to be.
I think you're spot on with that. Because I look at, you know, the way that Max is playing, right? Max has played FPL. Our son has played FPL for a couple of seasons now. And he's looking at it and going, well, Caicedo's getting points. Rice is getting points.
Yeah.
Even like he said, oh, Casemiro's done well this week. Yeah. And you and I sit there and go, wow, you can't really have them. It's like, at least they go, well, why not? They get points.
He said to me,
and it's because for years and years, we've played FPL for years and years, thinking that the sixes, the CDMs, just don't go there.
Yeah, yeah.
Just don't go there. And all these kind of like typically younger players or new players to the game are going, well, why do I not?
Yeah. He said that to me, didn't he? He said, oh, I'm going to get Bentancur. I said, why are you going to get Bentancur? Like, yeah. And he's like, because he's up there. And
quite well.
He's got goals. And I'm like, actually, I've got no comeback to that, because you're right. Like, and I think we as seasoned FPL managers, for want of a better word,
we're stuck in our ways.
We do get stuck in our ways. And so Caicedo, I can't get on board with people saying he's not a good pick, because he is a good pick, because he's going to most weeks he'll get you four. And if you're 5 point whatever he is, million midfielder, averages you 4 points a week between now and the end of the season, what the hell is wrong with that?
Happy days. Quick question on Reece James getting the 90 minutes again this game week. So, option?
The problem is, he... And
because
credit,
all us old uns will go, well, he'll just get injured again. And all the young Gen Zs and all the kids are getting him and going, well, he's getting points.
Credit to the Chelsea medical staff, because they are keeping him fit. But they are keeping him fit because they are managing him. He is being really, really carefully managed. If you look at the fixtures that he's not playing regularly, he'll miss a game because he will not play Champions League midweek, will be my feeling. Because
I think you're absolutely right, yeah.
He's just played 90 at the weekend against Spurs in a game that they needed him, and he did very well.
But he won't
play Champions League, and then he'll play again because he has to be managed, because he's like glass and he will break. So credit to the Chelsea staff, because they're managing him well.
So let's get in then.
But at some point, he's going to get rotated in the game you want him to play in.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
That's why I think I'd rather just have Caicedo. If you're going to go there, would you not just go Cucurella?
Don't know, you know.
Reece
James takes a free kick. He's out of position in midfield. He's a captain. I don't mind him, you know. I'm going to see how Tarkovsky gets on tomorrow night, obviously. But I got him in my team, and I'm not wed to keeping him. And maybe there's a move to Reece James. Same money, right? Don't know.
Every time I've owned Reece James in FPL, and it's been a lot.
Yeah.
He trolls me a lot.
Different game this year, Sam. Yeah, it's a different game. Why are we all struggling?
No, he will still troll me. I would rather have Cucurella for the safety that I would feel.
The guys in the chat are saying Chelsea are playing Carabag in midweek, so they don't need him.
Even if they were playing Real Madrid, they wouldn't play him in midweek.
Yeah. Talk to me about Spurs fixture. I don't want to leave this this Spurs and Chelsea chat. I know that you'll want to, but I can't move on without going, well, the fixtures for Spurs look very difficult, right? Manchester United at home up next, which...
they never come to us well.
Well, this season, you don't play at home well. Full stop. The home form has been awful. Then you're away at Arsenal, then home again to Fulham, and then away at Newcastle, home to Brentford. I mean, there's three home games there, and ordinarily you'd go, well, yeah, three home games, great for Spurs. But Spurs are not playing well at all at home at the moment. The form just isn't there. So you've got Van der Ven, you've got Kudus. What are you doing with them?
Van der Ven will be just on the bench, so that's fine.
He's cheap enough that you can do that, I think.
He'd just be on the bench. Like, I don't see Van der Ven as an issue. I've benched him the last 2 weeks, and I think that's fine. Kudus is more of an issue, but he's a really frustrating option because, honestly, I don't know how he's not got, like, 20 points over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I honestly don't. Goals that should have been there. He should have had two in game week. What are we on, 10? He should have had two in game week 8. He should have had an assist. No, he should have had a goal for the Mickey assist in... that was in 8. It's just unbelievable to me that since game week 7, he's not returned. And...
you're keeping him?
I don't think he's my biggest problem. Like, I don't he's my biggest problem. I think of all the problems that I have in my team, I don't see Kudus as that big a deal.
Okay. I think I agree with you on Van der Ven. I think you can stick on him. And I think, if anything, the fact that you're really struggling to create from open play might just force Thomas Frank back into set piece FC a little bit. And we know what Van der Ven can do from set pieces. Kudus, I don't know what you think. I think I'd sell him. I think I'd move him on. Tom Meaney, thank you for the super chat. Where over the next 2 weeks can you look for differential captain? Keep the faith, Sam. Keep
no,
the
you
faith,
can't,
Tom says.
Tom, you can't.
I'm not going to captain Haaland, he says. Well, Tom, I'd love to know from you where you are thinking
you
of
can't.
Your differential captain. When we get to our teams and we look ahead to next week, mate, we'll talk about what our captaincy choices might look like for next week. But yeah, without spoiling too much, it's difficult to look past the big Norwegian, I think. Talk to me about the next game then. Let's talk about West Ham 3, Newcastle 1. Really interesting few changes from Eddie Howe on half-time when Gordon and Voltomade both get hauled off. And they then subsequently go on to lose 3-1. It's all right doing that, Eddie, if you think that your changes are going to have an impact on the game. But to then go on and lose it 3-1, if anything, prove that he's made the wrong move there, I think. I honestly couldn't work that out. I didn't know what he was thinking with that. Maybe it's a change of shape or whatever.
Something
but...
must have happened in the dressing room.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. Because honestly, they were so awful in the second half. Like, you were just like, I'm not interested now because Gordon had gone
As soon as
off.
Gordon went off, I was like, right, I'm off to play Fortnite. I can't bother with this game.
I sat and watched the second half. They were so bad, Newcastle. We'll talk about West Ham in a minute because actually they played well, so we shouldn't take away from West
Ham. Yeah, Nuno's first home game, wasn't it? And gets a result.
This isn't about, I don't think it was his first.
Okay.
He's lost before, I think. But maybe I'm wrong there. Let's talk about West Ham in a minute. They were good. That's not about West Ham. But Newcastle, the first half, I thought they were bang average at best. They weren't playing very well. But you do not, in my opinion, take off your two most likely goal scorers in...
not a 2-1 down.
Gordon and Voltomada. Because they have no threat. They came out for the second half and they were like a blunt weapon. Like, they just had nothing. And they had no comeback. They looked terrible. If it wasn't for Nick Pope, they'd have lost by 5.
Well, he's at fault for the first goal, isn't he?
Well, he is. But then he makes some good saves.
Right.
Once they've 2-1 down, he then does make some decent saves. And they could have easily lost the game by 4 or 5 in the end.
George says, do you think Howe was thinking about the Champions League? Well,
yeah, but you can't...
Maybe, but at 2-1 at half time, you can't.
I honestly think something must have been said in the dressing room, because I don't understand why you would do it. You're losing a game in the Premier League that you need to win to ensure Champions League football for next season, because you're sure as hell not going to win the Champions League this year.
Yeah.
So then you're going to, what, rely on a cup run again? Maybe you win a cup, but that's not a way to achieve Champions League football on a regular, is to hope you win a trophy. Just look at Spurs. So Newcastle have to be better in the league. They have to. You have to secure. That has to be the priority. So you're not losing 2-1 at West Ham, who have been dreadful. And all right, they're playing better. But you don't take Gordon and Voltimada off and leave yourself with nothing because you're waiting for the Champions League. That's just, that doesn't make sense. In my head, something must have happened in that dressing room.
Yeah, I have to wait to see what the fallout on that is. But as Paul Flanagan is saying in the chat, thank you, Paul, he said Gordon was utter crap. He kept being caught in possession, needed to come off. Mate, I totally agree with you. And it's funny, I've said this before on these live streams, when you have a player on your FPL team, you watch them maniacally, don't you, in the games?
Yeah.
You can't help yourself. I'm just like, I'm like every 2 seconds, I'm like, oh, where's Gordon? Where's Gordon? Give him the ball, give him the ball. And yeah, Paul, you're absolutely spot on. He just was running down blind avenues.
He was, yeah.
And again, I'm not taking anything away from West Ham because they've got to close him down and they've got to make the tackles, sure, but bloody hell. Yeah, he was absolute garbage. I cannot wait to bin him off my team.
He was.
Cannot wait.
But if I'm Eddie Howe, and all right, I'm not a manager, so maybe I'm completely wrong here, but if I'm Eddie Howe and they come in at half time running down blind avenues and being crap, I just have a go at them and tell them to go out there, and I tell them you've got 60 minutes and if you're not better, these guys are going to come on and try and be better.
Well, maybe they didn't like being told that.
But maybe, but you don't take them off for 45 minutes, because what the hell kind of message does that send to West Ham? I'll tell you, they go, brilliant.
All right, well, what about West Ham and Newcastle then? Let's have a look at West Ham's fixtures. It's Burnley at home next, which looks pretty nice. Then it's away at Bournemouth, Liverpool, Manchester United, Brighton. It's... You know, the next game for West Ham looks good. Burnley at home, and we know how well Burnley travel, or otherwise not. But after that, it looks tricky. So I don't think... I mean, they're a watching brief still for me. I like Paqueta, I like Bowen. You know, Wan-Bissaka and Diouf maybe might come into our thinking, only because you've seen what Nuno has done in other teams with Forest and others, where the fullbacks get more advanced and they get into position. I know Wan-Bissaka's got the assist here. It's a little bit fortuitous because Botman slides in and gets the OG, but still it's an assist. So maybe in the future, West Ham, maybe in the future. Newcastle, how do you feel about Voltimada, though? Are you as clear as I am about wanting to bin Gordon? Are you thinking the same with Voltimada, or are you keeping for now?
I'll hold him for now. Like, I think he's fine. Like, because actually, over the last few weeks, I've watched Gordon, he's been crap. Whereas Voltimada hasn't been. He's looked all right over those weeks. He's doing the running. He's running in the right places. Gordon's been putting in crap balls or losing balls, and that's been a frustration. And it has been. You saw him get really frustrated the other week when he run into a good place and then didn't get given the ball, and he was just like losing the plot.
But if he's a striker, so by your definition then, he's a striker that relies on service.
Yeah.
And the service ain't coming, therefore he's a bad pick. Because he's not one of those strikers that's just going to go and create a chance for himself.
No, I think he can create a chance.
You've
for
just
himself.
Said he relies on the service, and he's getting
he
crap service.
He can create a chance. I mean, I did not say, oh, you're being really difficult tonight. I didn't say he can't create a chance for himself. I'm just saying that his service that he's been receiving hasn't been great. I don't think he's a massive problem. I'm actually more bothered about Nick Pope than I am Voltimada at the minute,
right?
Because actually, you know, he gets 3 in this game. But over the last couple of weeks, that Newcastle defence has been, since Levramento got injured, they've not been great. They've been conceding goals. And I thought this was a banker of a clean sheet for him. I was looking at it.
This is never a banker.
No, I was looking at it.
Away at West Ham with a new manager?
Yeah,
never,
but
not a banker, is it?
Lee, they've been awful under Nuno since he arrived. They've not been
one
playing
game.
Well. It's not been one game.
How many games has Nuno
3?
Had for West Ham? Oh, okay. Bloody hell. All right.
Like, he's been there a while now. Enough time. Like, it's been like a month. He's been there enough time for you to be seeing performances and being like, I'm still looking dreadful for West Ham. He's been muted with getting the sack at West Ham over the last few weeks. Genuinely, he has. So I was looking at this game thinking, well, West Ham should be easily a clean sheet because of the way that Newcastle started the season.
They crap away as well, Newcastle. If it was at Newcastle, I'd say, yeah, all right, okay, that, maybe I'd put that in banker territory, but not away at West Ham.
I think most managers that have got a Newcastle defender would be expecting a clean sheet against West Ham.
All right, fair enough.
I think Nick Pope is a bigger concern to me. The issue I slightly have is that there's not really another goalkeeper I want because I can't go for Raya. Because I've already got three Arsenal players, and I wouldn't even have Raya in my top five Arsenal players.
No. Okay. Let's move it on. Let's go. Oh, goodness me, I've gone too far up. What else to discuss? We need to do Palace, don't we? Palace versus Brentford. I noticed the guys at Scout, your mate Neil, who I think is absolutely such a talented writer. He did an article, he did like an FPL Scout Notes article about Palace versus Brentford, and he called it, refers to it, if you haven't seen it, have a look on the Scout website after this, he calls it El Chuckico. And I got so much time for that. I thought it was fantastic because it was exactly like that. I mean, we've seen it so much in the Premier League this season with the throw-ins and the set pieces and everything else. And this game was a lot like that, right? It was a lot like that. It was a lot of long throw-ins. There was a lot of set pieces. There was a lot of staccato. It's a staccato football match, right? It was stop, start, stop, start. It's not really... This was not one for the purists, this game. But that said...
They get the job done again.
Mateta gets the job done. Lerma pops up with a couple of assists. If you're a Sar owner, I think you can consider yourself a little bit unlucky. He features, I noticed, in the top 10 underachievers. He's eighth for XG underachievers with a delta of minus 0.34. So a bit unlucky not to get something, Sar owners. But again, it's the defence for Palace that show up well, right? All getting defensive contributions again.
Yeah.
All of them. I mean, they're all such good picks. Who have you got? You've got Mateta.
Only Mateta.
So no Palace defence. Is that something you're looking to fix?
Yeah, that's been an issue over the last few weeks for sure. And I think I probably... The Richards thing threw me a little bit because obviously Munoz is expensive. Gay, he's become expensive. Lacroix is sort of sitting in that semi-expensive-ish bracket. Richards is the obvious choice for me anyway in terms of my... structure of my team right now, he's the obvious choice. But he was a doubt heading into this one. And I just thought, I don't know what to do really here because Van de Ven to a Palace defender certainly feels like a sensible move given the fixtures for Spurs over the upcoming weeks. But I could really only afford Richards and I didn't want to put my hat on him definitely starting.
What about a goalkeeper then? You just said that you don't fancy Pope and you can't move to Raya. What about Gan Henderson?
That is an option. That is one of the things I have considered is doing that. The issue is that you've just said all of them got defensive contribution points. And I do feel like with Henderson, you get more upside than you would for a Raya because he does make saves. So you do have that potential lift from the 6 points to a 7 or an 8 pointer. But I still feel like if you look over the last few weeks at the numbers that Munoz, Gehi, Lacroix, Richards are posting, Henderson doesn't really hit those highs. So even with Richards, I still think that he is a better option than the goalkeeper.
All right.
Because he has more upside from DEFCON and therefore from bonus too.
I think you could say that about all defenders from all teams. I can't think of a team where you would say, yep, I'd have the goalkeeper over their defenders. I can't think of one. So in the end, you have to have a goalkeeper from someone.
Yes, but I don't think I would put I think it's different when you're talking about a team like Palace or like Arsenal, when I can think of three players that I would rather have. Three other players that I would rather have. Because I think the Palace are one of those defences that are going to be really great this year. And I think you're just going to have one. So that is an issue that I'll just need to fix it at some point.
Yeah. All right. And Brentford, much better at the G-Tech, aren't they? The chat are saying, George is saying in the chat, I agree.
I think it's because George is there. I think when George is there, they play better. I like Thiago, though. I still like Thiago.
Yeah, don't mind.
I still like him as a pick. I think he's... If Voldemar continues to disappoint, him to Thiago doesn't feel like a terrible downgrade, and it saves you money.
Yeah, all right. Well, no shame in getting to Palace and getting beat, mate. Palace are a very, very good side indeed. Very good side. Let's finish up, Sam, with Forest 2, Manchester United 2. A bit of a roller coaster. United going 1-0 up. Again, another defensive midfielder doing the business with Casemiro. No, the ball was in. Ball was in. I don't think it should have been a corner myself. And then it's 2-1, and then it's 2-2. So back and forth, back and forth. I think Mbeumo was, quite highly transferred in this week. I think a lot of players were going to him.
He was popular, yeah.
Yeah, and in the end, it was Bruno that gets the assist. But just the assist for Bruno, nothing else.
11 DEFCON again, wasn't it?
I think he just missed out again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
He loves an 11.
It's getting a bit frustrating, to be honest with you, as a Bruno owner. When you think about the two missed pens and the, you know, one away from DEFCON sort of two or three times now, what's that? It's a, with potential bonus points as well in the penalties incidents, you're talking, what, 5, 10, 15, 16 points maybe from Bruno owners not getting those fine margins, you know. But nevertheless, what do you make of this game?
I thought Man United, once they went one up, would just see it out. I don't know why I thought that, because they haven't been able to do
what
that.
What have you seen of United recently?
Decent
couple of last results, admittedly, but, you know, recent history suggests that United are not a team that can sit on 1-0 and see anything out.
No, for sure. And that's why I was kind of surprised. Like, when, because again, we were travelling at the point that this game was being played out, weren't we? So we watched the highlights. But I looked at it as we were getting off the train, and you said to me, oh, they're 1-0 up. And then we got off the train and I was like, they're 2-1 down. But in my head, and again, this is like old school bias, I think, is it's like Manchester United, they go one up, they'll see the game out, but they're just not able to do it. And from a Forest, like, Forest have been awful, haven't they? Like, and I appreciate that under the new manager, they've won a game, now they've drawn a game, so it's been better under Dyche. They've gone back to what they're good at, defending, although they did concede twice in this one. I don't know how I feel about United assets, Lee. I'm still not convinced that Bruno is worth the money. I was more tempted by Mbeumo, for sure. I like him a lot. But obviously he doesn't show well in this game.
Well, a decent fixtures for Manchester United coming up. They've got to go away to Spurs next. And I know what you're going to say, but listen, Spurs at home haven't been great recently, so I don't think that's a terrible fixture for Manchester United. Then it's Everton at home, then they've got to go away to Palace, which is difficult, but then home to West Ham, away at Wolves. I mean, that's not a fixture list where if you've got an Mbeumo, if you've got a Bruno Fernandes, if you've got a Cunha for whatever reason, you're not selling him, are you?
But is it an invest list? Because West Ham,
apart from just Palace away, I think yes, probably,
but West Ham we've just watched be better. Significantly better. Wolves, by the time we get there, who knows? Depends on who the new manager is, what he manages to do or bring to the table, because you'd expect some bounce under a new manager. I look at that fixture list and it doesn't scream buy a Manchester United asset. I agree with you. I don't think it screams sell. But is it a list of games that's making you think, yeah, Matt really should go all in on United? I should go and get...
I think in a world where we're struggling to pick a midfield, having a Bruno or an Mbeumo, I mean, you continue to play a high line at home and then Mbeumo can get in behind. There's no question about that. And then Everton at home for Manchester United, it's not bad. I mean, are they going to win 5 in a row and the guy's going to get his hair cut? No, probably not.
Well, no, they're back to zero again.
But there's points in there, I think. There's points. So I'm saying they're either a hold to buy... And you're saying they're just a hold.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay, let's move it on. Let's go and talk about our teams then. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
57 this week. Talk us through it.
Pope, fine. Got some save points. That's fine. Obviously, Timber and Gabriel were great. Sinesi picked up... Picked up three, which was inevitable. It kind of felt like inevitable that Sinesi gets three or four because he's going to get DEFCON. It's just how many did he concede. The midfield is infuriating because Saka, as captain, I still feel really quite hard done by about that, because I do genuinely think he should have got something. Semenyo, like I say, is very high on my hit list because I'm just like frustrated. I should have trusted my gut with Reinders. I think I let the fixture with Spurs and Chelsea just play. It played in my head too much and I couldn't work out what to do. So in the end, I left it. I probably should have just played Caicedo instead. Kudus, I mean, we've spoken about him at length. It is what it is. The front two, Haaland and Mateta, good. But obviously, I hadn't captained Haaland. So
you gave yourself 26 points, though, on the graphic, I noticed.
Yeah, I should have gone. Did I?
Yeah, oh, Haaland 26.
I just didn't change it from the last time. That's why. I just left it because on yours
you did it on mine first, right?
I did copy and paste.
Yeah.
No, I didn't copy and paste. It was set already on 26 from the last time we did a stream.
Oh, okay.
So I did on yours. I didn't have to change it. So of course on mine, I just probably just thought I don't have to change it. It should say 13. Yeah. So yeah. So Haaland is fine, but obviously he hurt a lot. It's just a bit shit. To be honest,
The midfield's the problem, isn't it? And I think a lot you're going to be in the same position as a lot of other FPL managers, right? Semenyo, Reinders, Kudus, Saka all blanking. It's the defence is looking good, nothing wrong with that whatsoever. The forward line looks all right, with maybe a question mark over Voltimada. Let's have a look. But
I don't think there is. I think the.
Well, that's why I said maybe. It depends if you think there's been a fallout in the dressing room. If he's at the heart of that, then.
No, I don't think he is. I think Gordon is more likely to be at the heart of problems.
We just made this shit up. Why are you saying this? I didn't want to say it to you at the time because you were in a flow and for some reason you were very upset about it. But like, where have you come up with that? Oh, there's something must have happened in the dressing room. They must have had a falling out. What? Where? You just laid that up. You just this poor Newcastle. You just like,
why
oh, yeah.
Why did City Howe do it?
I don't know, but it doesn't mean they've all had a row.
Okay, what do you think?
I don't think anything.
I just was making a suggestion as to what I think might have happened because the first half, Gordon's bad, but Voltimada's not that bad. Like, it's not that bad. They're at West Ham. They're losing, but they can easily come back. It takes them off.
You just come up
with... So something's got to have gone off.
They've gone off. Not that he's resting them for Europe or he's thinking about the Champions League or anything like that.
That's just crap, please.
They must have just had a massive row and it must have been Gordon because he's a rat. That's basically your theory, is it?
That's basically what you've said. Listen.
I've just suggested it might have been Waltimada and you've gone, no, he's in my team, so I love him.
No, I didn't say that.
Must be Gordon.
Put words in my mouth. You just make crap up and then say I said it and you're wrong.
How can you say I make crap up? You just
said I've said this because Voltimada's in my team. I haven't.
I'll tell you what. It's a good job we're sitting here on a live stream and not on Sky. If we were on Sky in the morning,
they'd throw you out.
Imagine this for Sky Sports News. They've had a row in the dressing room.
Well, I wouldn't say
must
that.
Must be Gordon, the little rat.
Imagine. Well, for a start, we do Sky Sports before the game, so why would I say that on Sky? That's just stupid. You're an idiot today. And secondly, I didn't even say anything about Voltimada. I just said, you're not resting players when you're losing a game. That's ridiculous. That doesn't even make sense. Who's suggesting that? That's stupid. Oh, we're losing 2-1. I know what I'll do. I'll rest my players. That's crap. That's not happened.
But we don't know what's happened.
That's not happened, has it?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is we don't know what's happened. No. Whereas you've said they've had a falling out.
I said, I wonder if they've had a falling out. I speculated that. I didn't say, spoiler alert, this is what's happened in the dressing room because I was there, did I? Dear. Stop putting words in my mouth. I'm just saying.
We'll go back and watch the replay.
You asked me to talk about my team and then you've done this and gone off on one for no reason. Does anyone else want to come and do this instead?
What are you changing about your team? Do you want to look at your bus team for next week?
If you like.
There you go.
Nothing's really changed.
There's your bus team.
I've just stuck Reinders on the bench and played Caicedo.
Excellent.
I can't... I'm giving the armband back to Haaland because, boring. Because we can't think for ourselves anymore. We all just must captain the robot. That's it. I don't know what I'm going to do in terms of transfers yet. I've got 2 free transfers. I've got 0.3 in the bank. So it's not a lot of money to flex around in terms of the midfield.
The chat's like, Lee's going to the shed. What? I don't think I've done anything wrong here.
I'm completely innocent. Over the last few weeks, I've been nothing but nice to you when Liverpool have been crap. Tonight, you've been... And your FPL game weeks have been awful. And I've been nothing but nice and positive. Today... you've just had a massive go at me during this whole stream. And when you watch it back, you'll realise that. The midfield is a problem, but I don't think that many of them are a problem. As in, like, Saka, Caicedo, I'm happy with both of them. I'm happy to keep Kudus. Semenyo, I dislike. And I don't really agree with what you say about Krupa Jr., to be honest. I don't agree with you. I think you're wrong.
All right.
So I would like to get rid of him.
Good.
I would also
love
like
to sell Semenyo.
Good. I might sell you at this point. Reinders, I would also like to get rid of, because I just feel like he causes...
Just as Rodri's coming back?
Yes, because I feel like he causes me mental health issues, in that I can't bring myself to bench him because he's a Manchester City player. And because I think they'll score goals, I therefore feel like I have to play Reinders, and it does influence my decisions in a negative way. So I'd rather just not have him, because if I don't have him, I won't think about the fact that I should be playing him. Does that make sense? Like, I'd rather have somebody
Someone
cheap.
In the chat.
What?
Someone in the chat has gone back to. So when you said, I wonder if something's gone on in the dressing room. Someone has gone back in the video. This is the power of YouTube, Sam. We can't do it because we're sitting here. Someone has gone back and they've said, right, I've rewound it. Sam says specifically, quote, something must have happened in the dressing room. Lee, you reckon? Sam, yep.
But that's my opinion. I haven't said, at no point have I said, definitely in the dressing room,
something
they've had
must
a row.
In the dressing room.
But I haven't said, like, categorically, have I? I've just said,
who was that?
It seems likely that.
Well
in
done
my head,
for going
it seems
back
likely
in the,
that.
Going back in the video, that's absolutely brilliant.
Can we talk about your team now?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I've had a good week. I'm quite happy.
Good, 81. Great. I'm so happy for you.
Makes a change. Makes a nice change.
Nice
81.
To see you smile and not be a prat.
80. Thank God. 81 with one to play. Tarkovsky still to go. Raya 6. Gabriel 12. Gehi 10, who I think low-key has been absolutely brilliant for me for the last few weeks. Just keeps ticking over. Even when they don't keep a clean sheet, he pops up with some jammy assist somewhere. So just love him. I think he's been great. And I agree with you. He's now starting to get into sort of expensive territory, but I've had him 4 or 5 weeks. I've got him at 4-6, so I'm very happy to keep him there. No issue with him whatsoever. Then in my midfield, again, issues all over the place. Only one assist between them. Bruno, Semenyo, Gordon and King. 5-2, 1-3. Haaland captain up front. Mateta 9, Jokeres with the 7. The bench was Dubravka, Reinders, Senesi and Goodmanson. So 81, a decent game week rank of just over a million, which puts me up to 1.6 overall. Listen, it's still not where we want to be, right? But we're moving in the right direction. It was 2.2 before the game week, so moving on up to 1.6 is good. If Tarko can get me something, that would also be good tomorrow night. I'd be very happy with that. Team for next week, like you, I've brought Reinders into the team, and I've dropped King into the bench.
What do you mean? I've done the opposite.
I thought you brought Reinders into the team, no? You've dropped him to the bench, have you?
No, this is another opportunity for you to not have listened. No, I said I'd put Caicedo in the team and put Reinders on the bench.
All right. Well, I've put Reinders in the team because we give up XG like you wouldn't believe. I think he's okay. I think what Pep was doing was maybe just rotating the squad ahead of what's going to be a challenging week for them. He knows that us going to the Etihad is a big game. It'll be on TV, all the rest of it. But if you, again, and I hate to keep harking back to it, but that sort of long ball philosophy, if Haaland starts winning those headers or even just challenging for those headers, players like Foden, players like Reinders, players like Cherki are going to pick up the balls in those areas and be very creative with it. So I don't mind Reinders for next week. I don't mind him at all. Whether I like him long term or not, I don't know. And probably he would be the biggest issue in my team were it not for Anthony Gordon. I'm going to get rid of Gordon. I think Going to the G-Tech next week, as we've already said, Brentford are good at home, so I don't think that's a great fixture for Gordon. If they have had a falling out in the dressing room, and if he's the reason for it, then maybe I do need to just sell him post-haste. But outside of that, the team looks all right. I mean, look at the defence. I mean, Gabriel and Raya, you just don't move them, do you? Tarko's going to be at home to Fulham. Gehi's going to be at home to Brighton, so that all looks fine. I don't think I'm going to play Senesi away at Villa. He's currently sitting on the bench, and then Goodmanson sitting third sub. Bruno, Semenyo, Gordon and Reinders in midfield. That looks okay, except for Gordon. The move that I'm looking to make is potentially Gordon to a Chelsea midfielder. That's what I'd like to do. Well, probably boring, but it's probably go Caicedo, you know, probably. I mean, he's the one with the form. He's the one that's getting the FPL points at the end of the day. And any given week, it looks like his floor is maybe his four, right? Likely to get the two. He's likely to get the DEFCON. So any player with that at that sort of price, with a floor of four, I think he's all right. I mean, it does mean that my midfield looks a little bit lopsided because then I'll have Caicedo, Reinders and King. I have three quite cheap midfielders in there, you know. But my front line looks pretty stacked. I've got Haaland and Gyökeres and Mateta.
If Gyökeres is actually injured, would that change your mind on Gordon?
Yeah, it might do. I mean, going into this week, I was actually thinking, well, those are my two biggest problems, Gordon and Gyökeres. And maybe I just get through game week 10 and going into 11, I've got two free transfers. Those are the two I make. I drop Gyökeres to somebody and then I upgrade Gordon to somebody. I was thinking maybe I switch it and get Saka in midfield and he could be my third Arsenal coverage and maybe I bring Gyökeres down to somebody. But I just love the way that Gyökeres played for that 45 minutes. I thought he was sensational. And going away to Sunderland is a difficult game, but it's Arsenal. They're just on fire right now, right? So I hope he's all right. We've got Champions League in midweek, so we'll know whether he's going to be all right or not. Just keep him there, I think. As long as he's all right, I keep him there. But Gordon's the one. Gordon is the one that I want out of my team, and it's likely to be for a Chelsea midfielder. Likely. We'll see, right? We'll see. Lots of football to be played so far this week. Let's get on to the outro, Sam. Let's talk. No, let's not go there. No, let's not go there. Let's go there. There we go. What is coming up this week then? Because there's a lot going on this week. Lots of podcasts and stuff going on this week now.
Yeah, but thankfully not together. You'll be doing... I'm doing Off the Bench on Tuesday with FPL Harry. Good. Let's talk Spurs and Chelsea together.
Oh, yes.
The good thing is that FPL Harry is lovely. So he won't be difficult about the fact that Spurs
I don't think
lost.
I've been difficult tonight.
I didn't say anything about you in that moment. I just said Well, it's not about you. I'm just saying that Harry's not the type of person to be difficult about the fact that it was Spurs and Chelsea.
Your voice has gone off up an octave quite a few times tonight.
Deep breath, counts 10. That wasn't a comment about you. It was a comment about
Harry. So off the bench with Harry. Yes, good.
On Tuesday, you're doing the Sky Sports podcast on Tuesday with Mark and James, I would assume.
Yes.
So quite a busy day for both of us on Tuesday. Thursday, I will be back with Az on the Scout Q&A, as well as obviously doing the official podcast on Thursday morning.
I enjoyed your appearance on Black Box last Friday. Was it Friday? Or Saturday? Friday, wasn't it? I enjoyed your appearance on Black Box. Him dressed as a demonic bunny and you dressed as a Halloween cheerleader.
Dead cheerleader. I was dead.
You were dead. Okay, fine. Yeah. You were good. Yes. Good.
Yeah, it was good fun. That's my first ever appearance on Black Box. So it was nice. I enjoyed myself. I was a bit tired because by the time we finished, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning as far as I could.
Our flight landed a few hours before that, didn't it?
We only just made it back around the M25.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it felt like it was 2 o'clock in the morning because we just left Dubai. So thank you for that. And then on Friday, I've got the fantasy show. So what I really would have loved is a nice Green Arrow. And to have done it after my bench boost for Mickey van der Ven's heroics. Instead, I've got Saka blanking. But never mind. So a fantasy show on Friday. And I think that's it. There's a lot of content next week. A lot of busyness next week.
Good.
Keep an eye out for us pretty much everywhere.
All right, good. And as usual, there'll be an Ohana podcast for all of our Patreon followers, not only those that support the channel, but even if you just got a free account over on Patreon, you can grab the Ohana podcast, which is our game week preview podcast on Thursday. It usually goes out Thursday night. So get over to patreon.com/FPL family. No need to give us any money or do anything like that in terms of paywalls or anything. You can just sign up to a free account and get access to the Ohana podcast every single Thursday. And we'll be back this time next week discussing all things game week 11. Any chips for you next week, do you think? Any free hits, triple caps? Nah, not considering it.
Nah. I'll wait till Haaland gets injured and then play my triple cap.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
Very good. All right, guys. Thanks for listening to and watching the FPL Family live stream tonight. Leave us a like, subscribe, all that good stuff, and we'll see you this time next week. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.